Good morning, everybody. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. We're going to translate last week's show. Georgie Dinkoff is amazing encyclopedia of knowledge, and it's like a double fire hydrant. I think I asked him two questions the whole hour, and he just ran with it, which is great. I think that's why Dr. Mercola has interviewed him three or four times now over this topic, and as I mentioned at the top of last week's show, to get the author of Fat for Fuel, the top-selling keto book there for a while, to switch to a 200-gram carb diet, that's a pretty massive shift. To get the Carnivore Code author, Dr. Paul Saladino, to start adding carbs back into his carnivore diet, that's a pretty big deal. I don't think we mentioned it last week in the show, but Georgie mentioned in one of the Mercola interviews, all-cause mortality higher in a long-term low-carb diet. That got Dr. Mercola's attention. It got my attention. And I've already have received a few emails and comments and questions about, wait a minute, what do you mean eat carbs, eat sugar? We've been eating low-carb this whole time in keto and fasting and all that. So we're going to try to bring a little more explanation in layman's terms to this, and just kind of give you my thoughts and opinion. But also we have Nicole Powell, one of our wellness navigators, on the show with us today to give her perspective, as she has walked with many, many clients and patients over the years. And so we just want to try to answer some of the questions that have come in and just give you perspective. So, but before we jump into that, I almost forgot, there's some announcements at the Merck. We've got lots of produce, tomatoes, okra, cucumber, squash, different varieties of squash. We have melons, watermelons, and probably some other things I'm not thinking of. So get to the Merck, support these local growers. This is the season to stock your body full of the micronutrients that it needs from the local West Texas environment. There's lots of benefit to eating local, fresh picked, vine ripened produce. So get to the Merck and do that. Also, Dr. Tony Jimenez from Hope for Cancer will be giving a presentation here in Lubbock at the Willows, which is at the Beat and Bow Complex over on 82nd Milwaukee. That'll be Thursday night, August 31st. I don't have the details yet on RSVPing or how to get a seat, but stay tuned. We'll bring that to you next week. I'll also be speaking for a little bit after Dr. Jimenez. Next announcement, our corporate wellness program is available for anybody out there who wants to get your employees well. We already have testimonials rolling in after 3 to 4 months of walking with the Beat and Bow companies and their employees, some reversal of diabetes and other things. So we'll get some of those testimonies on the show in the future, and we'll bring on one of the Beat and Bow folks to talk about that from a management perspective and insurance perspective, and just how does all this work to drive down healthcare costs. But we are available if you are a business owner out there or HR person and you want to talk to us about how to bring some knowledge and support to your employees so they can walk in true health and not just treat a symptom. Just info@veritasmedical.com would be a good place to reach out if you're interested in that. And then next, we've got a big sale coming in August, end of summer sale. I don't have all the details, but be looking on veritasmedical.com under shop. You'll see it'll be our desiccated beef liver. We're probably going to do a big special, something like buy one, get one free, or 50% off something. We want to move that inventory. I'll talk more about that in a future show. There's a new product called Recuperate coming out that combines desiccated liver and spirulina and curcumin. And it's just a great copper source. But anyways, be looking on the website and on our Instagram page, Veritas Healthy Community, for more on that in August. All right. That's all the announcements. Let's dive in. So here's my opinion. Carbs, fat, losing weight, metabolism, all those kind of questions. My main take-home message is don't put nutrition up on the pedestal as the savior. Don't even put it up as the number one pillar. I'm going to purposely start trying to remember to call the nutrition pillar the fourth pillar. And the reason is, if you try to lean on that pillar solely or mostly, 80, 90% of your efforts are on that pillar, and you're looking to that pillar only to solve your problems, you're not going to reach your goals or you're maybe temporarily reach them, and long term you're going to cause more trouble. As Georgie mentioned last week, cortisol is the enemy. Cortisol is a hormone that shreds, in Georgie's words, shreds your muscle, shreds your soft tissue, shreds your brain. You don't want to shred any of your body. And cortisol does that. And I think most listeners have heard me talk about the peace pillar enough to know that when you're in fight or flight mode, cortisol goes up, but other things do that too. Other stressors we don't think about, like sleep apnea. If you're not getting enough oxygen all night long, it's a stressor. If you're doing marathon races too much, that's a stressor. Not just marathon, but any excessive intense exercise too much, that's a stressor. Too much fasting is a stressor. Not fasting the right way is a stressor. So really the focus needs to be on what are the things in my life that are driving cortisol up, and I need to address those. I don't know if y'all caught this last week. He barely mentioned it, but he said a tenet. I think he said a key tenet of Ray Peet's philosophy and theory and plan is muscle mass. You've got to maintain your muscle mass. If you don't have good muscle mass, nothing's going to work. From a dietary perspective, he talked about when you go super low carb for too long, not only does cortisol go up, but you can lose lean muscle mass, you lose water, you'd lose some fat too. But long term, and this is the same if you do severe calorie restriction, you know, the biggest loser is what he talked about, I think, on the show. And you're going to lose lean muscle mass. And that's one of the most deadly things you can do is lose muscle mass. And we naturally lose muscle mass with age. So we have to purposely try to maintain that. And one of the best ways to build resiliency in the body is to maintain your muscle mass. There's many studies about longevity and muscle mass. And the more muscle mass you maintain, the better outcomes you have for everything. The muscle mass is your reserves. When you need a reserve of, you know, when you're sick, when you get the flu, COVID, and you break a leg, break a hip, you're elderly and you're in bed for a week, you start pulling from the muscles to get your amino acids to repair yourself. And you need extra stores of that muscle. So we got to maintain that muscle. And muscle burns at a high rate of metabolism, which was Georgie's main point. This is all a metabolism issue. We want to keep metabolism high. And maintaining muscle mass is one of the ways to do that. Maintaining a high cortisol level is a way to absolutely destroy your metabolism and your ability to burn any kind of fuel for energy. So cortisol is the enemy. Nutrition pillar is the fourth pillar. Peace pillar, movement pillar, I would put those way above nutrition pillar, actually. But I find that most people don't. So we need to do a better job at Veritas of educating on that, I think. So I'm going to bring Nicole in to give her perspective, because as I've said, Nicole's had the opportunity to walk with many, many patients over the years. I know she's full of wisdom and opinion that's mostly rooted in Holy Spirit-led thoughts, I believe. I can testify to Nicole is always in pursuit of the kingdom first, and I'm sure we'll get into this later. That's the ultimate answer. Should you fast? Should you eat sugar? Should you eat carbs? Should you eat only? Should you do a juice fast? Should you fast at all? Should you go on a carnivore diet for a little bit? Should you go whatever? Fill in the blank diet. Well, did you ask the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's supposed to be there to lead us into all truth. I can guarantee you we can find testimonies of people that went vegan or vegetarian for a month and felt amazing. And I can say the same thing for carnivore, for keto, for fasting, for fill in the blank. So it's not about can you feel better, even have better lab numbers temporarily on any of these. Anything that's not standard American, yeah, you're going to do better, feel better, and your labs will be better. But then, and I'm not even saying necessarily not to do that initially. Maybe we'll talk about that, get Nicole's thoughts on that too. And Georgie mentioned that. He did keto for a little while, and he lost some weight. It turned out it was mostly water. But then he kind of plateaued and started gaining. That's what we've seen clinically with some of our patients over the years. And so we'll talk about that in a minute, some examples of that. So short term, yeah, he saw benefit. Long term, he saw negative. And I think that's what you're going to see across the board. Dr. Natasha McBride mentioned this in an interview I did a few years ago with her. Y'all can go back and listen to it. It was mostly about vegetarian, vegan, not keto versus higher carb. And her point was there can be some benefit temporarily. It's kind of like a cleanse when you do a juice fast or just a vegan. But then to build and maintain your muscle mass, your organ status, your enzymes, everything, to build and maintain, you've got to bring in nutrient-dense animal products. And so go back and listen to that interview. Again, the either-or thing usually gets us in trouble. It's not an either-or. It's probably all the above if it's God food, not man food, and it's led by the Holy Spirit. That's my real answer. That's not a cop-out answer. I think we've copped out by looking to the doctor and looking to the nutritionist for all our answers, and that's when we're going to get in trouble. Remember, doctors only get 2 hours of nutrition and 4 years of medical school education. And then those of us who kind of go beyond that and get into nutritional type medicine, holistic medicine, then we got to go learn again. So where do we turn? Typically to men and women who are educated, and we'll go down the vegetarian trail or plant-based, and we'll go down the whole food, whatever. You know, it's just man's wisdom. And there's some benefit to that, but it's not the ultimate answer. And that's why we're kind of in the mess we're in, I would say. Nicole, would you concur that we're in a little bit of a mess because of following man's wisdom? What have you seen walking with patients over the past many years at Veritas? And maybe, I think most people know, you may just give a brief on your background, like how you've got to where you are today being a wellness navigator.
Okay. So yes, that is my experience as well. And I would say, I would agree the overarching theme here is to seek the Holy Spirit. I have the personal testimony of what most of our patients do from some consequences of long-term keto and extreme fasting. So I was a teacher and my daughter had to come because of recurrent ear infections to Veritas, which all of that's taken care of. But I also by nature was just kind of a rule follower. So you tell me what to do, I'll make a list and I'll check everything off that list every single day and I'll do it perfect. And I did. So when my practitioner told me fasting and keto are great for your health, I was like, okay, well, if fasting and keto are good, then a lot of fasting and keto must be better. Right?
Of course, naturally.
So I would say that I was probably one of our most compliant patients as far as diet goes, just because fasting was easy for me. I enjoy the foods that were keto and kind of I just, when I set my mind to something, I'm going to do it. But what I realized is over time, there were slowly some consequences. And I would say the first one that I noticed was muscle loss and that muscle being replaced with fat. I just noticed things that I could do before I couldn't necessarily do now. And what I realized is as I talked to people and in my own experience, we have these stories of when you first start keto. And now that I know what keto does, I know why it's the way it is. When you first start keto, you really kind of force your thyroid to shunt the responsibility to your adrenals. And your adrenals perform that task by cortisol and adrenaline. And the reason that you feel really good is because cortisol and adrenaline are the emergency hormones. So if a car falls on a kid in front of you, you can pick up that car because you have cortisol and adrenaline running through you. So they feel good until they don't, because when you have to produce that constantly to keep yourself alive, then all of the hormones that really do make you feel good, like progesterone and others, it has to put those on the back burner. And that's really where I was. And what I realized is at the clinic, we kind of just kept talking about how great keto is because of what we see at first. And I saw patients trying to get back to that. Well, at first I felt so good. And I think it was because I did it perfect that first time. And I want to get back and do it perfect again. And even as employees, we talked about like when we tried to introduce the idea of carbs and people were resistant to it. I was resistant to it in the beginning, but what I realized is we were just stuck on these first 3 months, 6 month stories of how great people feel and the good results that come from that. But over time, we weren't really following up with how these people were feeling a year down the road or 2 years down the road. And I remember, I think a year or so ago, you sent us a Dr. Pompa article. And in there he said, anytime you do an extreme diet, something is upregulated. And that's usually why you feel good. And keto does upregulate some things. But in the process, something else is downregulated. And with keto, that's your thyroid. And our thyroid's just so important. And I just did it for so long, and I saw patients do it for so long. And what I realized more than anything, and this is the part I think I want everyone to take away from today, I was doing something because another man told me to do it. I didn't ever ask the Holy Spirit, should I fast? In fact, I was leading patients on fasts 3 times a year, 5-day fast, and we were just doing it together. And I'm not saying, you know, that was a sin or that was wrong, but at the end of the day, in the Bible, there was a reason for a fast, and it was instructed from the Father. And it was going to be a purpose. And the purpose wasn't to lose weight or, you know, there was just a deeper purpose. So at the end of the day, what I realized, even in looking into the pro-metabolic stuff, was there's something specific for me that I have to seek the Holy Spirit about, because I don't need as many carbs as Paul Saladino. I shouldn't be eating as much sugar and fruit as Paul Saladino is. So everybody's just so different, and we really shouldn't be calling the way we eat anything. In the 1800s, they didn't have a name for their diet. They just ate food. And I think that was probably the biggest takeaway, was really just like the spiritual, comfortable or gentle conviction that I had let man's wisdom take the place of what the Father and the Holy Spirit wanted to be for me, leading me into all truth.
Yeah. And that's a great point. And I mean, it's a hard, hard thing, especially as practitioners and doctors, because people come here specifically asking a man or woman, we're saying man generically here is human beings, mankind, to give them the answer. And not only give them an answer, but kind of be my savior. I'm desperate. I'm sick. I'm dying. I'm whatever. Fill in the blank. Most patients come here pretty sick and kind of fed up with, I mean, because they haven't gotten great answers in conventional medicine. So they're looking for an alternative. And so it's just the nature of the relationship. And even under the Texas Medical Board legal document, you know, doctor-patient relationship, standard of care. We have to give them the standard of care answer. Talked about that before. That standard of care answer gets the worst health outcomes of any country in the world. But even complementary and alternative answers, which are legal and authorized under Texas Medical Board Rule 200. But still, the point is, you're looking to man for the answer. And oftentimes, man can get for some kind of good result initially, as Nicole just talked about with keto initially. I can initially get people's blood pressure to normal, usually within a day with a pharmaceutical, and usually within a month with hardcore dietary and lifestyle changes. But it's not about the short term. I mean, those are all warning signs, as we've talked about before, lights on the dashboard going off. There's something wrong under the hood. And yeah, I guess you could say it's a little more to the root cause when you go diet and lifestyle, but you have to be real careful. If you're just manipulating diet, lifestyle, supplements, and fasting and different things to force a certain number to be better without the long-term implications in mind. One other thing I kind of wanted to point out is it's easy. I want to be sympathetic to the patients who are sick and who are kind of desperate. I just had a close family member call me yesterday, and his A1C is 11, so newly diagnosed type 2 diabetes. And historically, based off, you know, many patients in the past, I would go hardcore Jason Fong on them. Quit eating. Don't eat again till I tell you. You're going to fast, and you're going to fast hardcore, and when you quit fasting, you're going to eat nothing but meat and veggies. and you're going to eat that in a very narrow window. And I can almost guarantee you that blood sugar would come down from the average of 300, which is what it is today, down into the hundreds, probably within a couple of weeks to a month. But also in this particular person's situation, I know their lean muscle mass has already deteriorated because of his or her, I'm trying to keep this anonymous, lifestyle and age. And so in my mind, I'm thinking that's not going to be the number one. It's not sustainable. So he's going to end up getting frustrated and he's going to have a rebound. The cortisol is going to go through the roof. The thyroid's going to shut down even more. So my recommendation as I was consulting with his health coach was probably the best move he can make is go get in the swimming pool that's at his place of where he lives with some weights in the pool, and you get the sunshine, you get out of the EMF environment, which his is pretty heavy indoors where he's at, and get the muscle mass built up. And don't even touch the diet right now. You know, that's a totally different approach. But even that is still man's opinion on it. And I'm still a fallible man who just has knowledge from my own, you know, wisdom. Really what needs to happen is we should instruct this person, give him the knowledge that he maybe doesn't have about sunshine and muscle mass and the food part, all of it, and then advise him to go and pray and seek the Holy Spirit. Where does he have peace about going? And then that's the direction to go. So there's something to be said for seeking wise counsel, gaining some knowledge, but it's about priority, in my opinion. And when we get back from the break, we'll talk more about you know, being led by the Holy Spirit, I think is what we need to talk about. Because we could go round and round and round with all the evidence, and you know, Georgie went into cortisol and the DHE ratio and longevity studies and all this stuff, where that's fine. I mean, you can go listen to the four interviews he's done with Mercola to get the deep dive on all the science. But I feel like we need to kind of shift and move, go more into, okay, then how do I do this? How do I be led by the Spirit? So when we get back from the break, we'll dive more into that. But again, for patients specifically who've been with us for a while, I'm not saying just go hog wild. I'm never going to say go hog wild on standard American junk, which is everything that's packaged and in restaurant food pretty much, because it's the PUFAs. Georgie mentioned that. Everyone, I think, is in agreement. The PUFAs are no good. That's the seed oils, the vegetable oils. Chris Kenobi talked about that. We've talked about that. So that's number one. Quit eating that. The high fructose corn syrup, that's not what we're talking about. You know, if there's two Coca-Colas sitting here, one has real cane sugar, especially if it's organic, and one has high fructose, those aren't even the same category. High fructose corn syrup is absolutely killer to your mitochondria, your metabolism, your copper. So there's these basic tenets of avoid the seed oils, avoid this processed high fructose corn syrup in particular on the sugar side of things. And then the processed grains versus a fresh milled grain. Again, apples and oranges, not even in the same universe as far as nutrient profile and what it does for your mitochondria and your metabolism. So standard American food is the enemy. It is deadly. It is what's driving all this stuff. So where do we move to? The real food. That's always going to be the answer, the real food. Now, what ratio and when to fast and all that? Gain some wisdom and knowledge from your wellness navigator at Veritas, but otherwise it's Holy Spirit led. All right, when we get back from the break, we'll dive more into all of this. I'm with Nicole Powell today on the show. We're kind of doing a recap interpretation of Georgie Dinkoff's interview last week. If you missed that, go back and listen to it. We archive all these shows on veritasmedical.com under the resource tab on the podcast page. You can check that interview and many others out on there. Y'all stick with us. We'll be right back. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure. All right, we're back. Dr. Ben Edwards here. Another episode of You're the Cure. We're doing a kind of rehash interpretation of Georgie Dinkoff's interview last week. He's a wealth of information. There's a whole lot more out there on his blog and his interviews with Dr. Mercola and other physicians that are out there. The short synopsis is long-term and even short-term in some cases, deprivation of calories, deprivation of carbs is detrimental to your health. So bring the carbs back in, but God food, not man food. Do it the right way. One wrong way that we see some patients do it. Maybe Nicole, you can speak to this, and she kind of already did. The amount of carbs and the fat. I mean, if you're still on a super high fat diet, it can be good saturated fat, which is Georgie talked about that. Saturated fat's beneficial, not the PUFAs, but the saturated fat's good. But if you have a high fat intake and you start throwing the carbs in there too, you just clogged up your metabolism pipe. You can only burn one or the other at one time. So if you've got both in high quantities of both, that's going to be a disaster. Don't do that. Do it the right way. So there's wisdom to gain there. So maybe, Nicole, let's start there. What have you seen with patients who maybe were high fat and they hear this carb thing, it makes sense. They start adding in good, healthy God versions, but maybe their fat content's still pretty high. What have you seen there?
So I would say, yes, I agree with that. There's also the measure of the, when we put people on such a restrictive eating way of eating, when you're liberated from that, there is an emotional freedom that comes with that. And in ways, of course, that's a great thing. We all want to experience that freedom. But sometimes that does translate, or I've seen in the lives of patients, be just, you know, go eat whatever. You can have whatever. You can binge on anything. And I think that that's probably the biggest problem. So now when I counsel patients, especially the ones that are first coming to us, and I don't know that all the navigators do this, but I actually tell them, I don't know that this, I would say that this is a Veritas stance, but I hierarchy our big three. So we tell them, get rid of the big three. And I'll always start with seed oils, because the truth is, if you can give somebody baby steps to take, then sometimes they're more successful. But getting rid of seed oils is the single, probably most useful band-aid we can give a person. Because if you tell someone to avoid seed oils, you almost get processed grains and processed sugars just as a byproduct. Because all the products that have those things usually have some sort of seed oil. So I explain that to them. And then I move to processed grains as second. And then I third do sugar. And I tell them, you know, sugar, if you're just going to pay attention to one sugar, I'm going to ask you to stay away from high fructose corn syrup, which is a sugar in our body, but it's not really even recognizable. It's not even really comparable to even white sugar that you get from the store. So I try to educate them on these basic things, but at the end of the day, does it make sense to have gobs and gobs and gobs of a certain macronutrient on your plate? And it doesn't. I really had to retrain my brain when I added carbs back, because I was just so used to adding butter to everything, and adding everything had to have a sauce that was made with mayonnaise, and that doesn't count what I was cooking my food in. And not to say that those all aren't great fats, but a tablespoon of butter has 100 calories. Like, I don't think a lot of people think about that, but that's a lot of calories in such a small amount of food. So you can easily overdo fat if you kind of have that low carb mindset, because you're trying to feel a restriction from another food group. So really just teaching people how to simplify your plate again. You should have a meat, and you should have a vegetable and a fruit, and you cook your food in a good fat, and whatever you cook it in is plenty of fat. Now, if I have a salad, I put salad dressing on it. Not to say that you should never add anything to your plate, but just be wise about it, because most proteins already have the fat attached to them that you need. If you're eating a steak, that steak's likely marbled with good fat that's going to give you the brain health and all of the good fats that you need. So not going out of your way to add gobs and gobs of fat. But yes, I've seen that, because it's going to store one. You're going to store one at the end of the day. And I think that that's a mistake that most people make.
Yeah. And Georgie talks about the resting metabolism of muscle will burn fat and prefers to do that. Which is another good reason to have that muscle mass there. But if you flood the body with both, like Nicole just said, then something's got to be stored either way. So moderation is key. I mean, it's funny how this all goes back to the same basic tenets, and we got to make this huge deal of, and who made the huge deal? We did. I mean, oh, this is such a great example of man's wisdom and stuff. And even, I hope we're explaining this good enough. You know, I'm not going to be, you know, mad at someone if they come and say, well, I really felt like I was supposed to, for this season, for this week or day or weekend or month, I don't, whatever time frame of restriction of something for some reason, because I prayed on it, I had peace about it, I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, awesome. That's great. So we're talking now just in general, as your just general day-to-day eating plan, this more balanced approach. But I want to circle back to, remember, everything we're talking about, this whole thing's turned into food, but which is fine. But it's the fourth pillar. Like I said at the top of the show, it really is, all this is secondary. We are trying to get so much accomplished through what's on our plate, you know, what goes in our mouth. And of course, it has an impact on us. But it's, the impact is so influenced by our mindset. And if we're walking in a state of peace versus fight or flight, and it's so influenced by what body composition this fuel's going into, how much, what percent lean muscle mass do you have? It's going to totally change the way your body handles your macronutrient ratio that you're so focused on. Sunshine, you know, Jack Cruz, that whole deal. I'm going to interview one of his students here in a couple of weeks, so we'll learn more about the mitochondria and metabolism and sunlight and sun and photons and all that. We don't even hardly think about that. So again, shifting to where we realize it's the four pillars instead of the one pillar, nutrition, 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 diet, diet, diet. It's a huge deal.
At the end of the day, the people who, and I'm saying this gently because I was one of these people, the people who have trouble, like feel confused after they hear a message like this, or even when they're told to do something and they want to just follow all the rules, it's a deeper issue. It's not even about the food. It's really not even about the food. There's something deeper there. And just like I tell our wellness clients, you can manipulate the physical body with food. You can manipulate the physical body with pharmaceuticals. It's really no different. I mean, one may have some toxic consequences, but they're both still the same. And in the end, that manipulation can only work to the degree that it's working at the moment. That's why people who are on proton pump inhibitors have to change which kind they have and get more. It's a cycle, and it's the same way. Even though we offer a lot of good things at the clinic, there are still ways that we're simply just doing a cleaner way of manipulating the body that a conventional doctor does with pharmaceuticals. So digging deep and getting into the peace pillar, I tell patients all the time, I've seen people who, and I'm not advocating this, but I have talked to people who eat McDonald's all the time, drink Cokes, and don't exercise. And they have perfect health. And I've seen the opposite of that. So the pivotal pillar is the peace pillar. It is the only one that's changed in those two people. And that would be, instead of trying to micromanage what you eat, that would be the pillar and the place that I would recommend people focus. And then everything else will come along. Yes, you can do some basic things. I always give the example of if you have two people, one of them does a lot of cardio and HIIT training and things like that, and I tell you, I'm going to send you on a cruise for 2 months and you're not allowed to exercise all 2 months. And the other person has a lot of muscle mass. They're weight trainers. I tell them both, you're going to go on a cruise for 2 months and you can't exercise the whole time. One of them's going to come back looking exactly like they did when they left, and the other one's not. And I can tell you with confidence, the person with muscle mass is the person that's going to come back looking the same. Because it's hard to build, it takes some time to build, but it's also hard to lose. So if you're going to spend time working out and moving, then yeah, muscle mass is the way to go. But of course, all of these things are just advice of things to do in the physical, but you really do have to get down to what's missing or what lie have you believed from the peace pillar.
Yeah. All this conversation makes me think about this, I guess it's a meme or something I saw one time about, you know, this dietary advice that came out. Eggs are bad. No, now they're good. Coffee's good. No, now it's bad. And basically the meme was like, I'm just going to sit back and eat my cupcakes while everybody tries to figure this out. And, you know, those cupcakes can be made healthily with fresh milk, grain, and real sugar. And the chocolate's super good for you, actually. The right kind of chocolate. But, you know, just another great example, man's wisdom. So, peace pillar. Now, I'm not saying we have it all figured out. We definitely don't. We're all on our journey of, hopefully, I'm speaking for all of us who are believers in Jesus, that we're on this journey of maturing and renewing our minds so that we can be transformed. I'm not saying we have it figured out, but I can say, looking back, the one pillar that's not changed is the peace pillar. Like, we were super big into HIIT training, and I think at one time probably some CrossFit stuff. And again, there's benefits to HIIT and cross training, and now it's resistance training and all the things. But there's going to be changes, nuances, and all that. Definitely the nutrition pillar. But peace pillar, it, because it's rooted in the Word of God, the Bible. Now, our interpretation of that or our understanding of that definitely is maturing and changing and evolving, and really the renewing of the mind. So I'm just going to tell you from my experience personally and from thousands of patients who love Jesus, I'm trying to say this in all love. I'll just say it personally. I was preached a half gospel. And I don't even know if half is maybe a quarter of the gospel, not the full gospel. Here's what I was preached. Adam and Eve sinned. We're all sinners. You're going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. So turn or burn. I mean, basically, in a nutshell, that was it. Turn or burn. Fear. Let me manipulate you. Fear of eternal damnation in hell, separated from God, which is all true. So come up here, kid, and get baptized. Say the sinner's prayer and get baptized. And I'm not making light of that. I mean, I believe in that. But that's all I knew. And then when someone told me one day, hey, that's the gospel of salvation. And the Bible says Jesus came, and Jesus says, I came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And Paul says, gospel of the kingdom. And when I didn't have a clue what that even meant, that's a huge red flag. And that's a kind of standard question I'll ask patients who want to have a peace pillar discussion, is tell me what the gospel of the kingdom is, or what's your understanding of the gospel of the kingdom, or have you heard the term gospel of the kingdom? And I would say, I mean, it's probably close to 100%, if not 100%. It's, they don't know that. They know the gospel of salvation. And man, it's tough. It's difficult to talk about this. You know, we used to say it's easier to get someone to change their religion than change their diet. That was kind of the joke early on, at, not just Veritas, but in lots of circles, nutritional, holistic circles. And now I'm thinking it's the opposite. We are so entrenched in what we got raised in, doctrines of man, religious tradition, and the gospel of salvation being a big, big piece of that. So really, my upbringing was Jesus came so we could get to heaven. And the thought that Jesus came to restore a truth, to restore something more than that, to reconcile us back to the Father. What does that mean? He came to do more than get us into heaven. As one preacher, Dan Muller, says, he came to get heaven back into you. It's a completely different mindset. If this gospel of the kingdom is, hey, Jesus came so that you could be restored to the Father, and actually the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come and live in you and will lead you and guide you into all truth, and you will walk around on the earth with the truth, the source of the truth, the answer to everything you need, is living in you and communing with your spirit and will lead you into all this truth on diet, on exercise, on everything, every circumstance, every stressful circumstance in your life, every relationship, every challenge, everything. Jesus did all he did so that this could happen. He said, I've got to go so Holy Spirit can come, and it's better that I do this. The Holy Spirit's going to live in you. Paul says this new creature. We are a new creature never seen before on the face of the earth. Not even John the Baptist and all the prophets of the Old Testament said, even the least in the kingdom are more than John the Baptist, who is more than the prophets. It's an amazing concept to wrap your mind around, that we can be walking around with the Spirit of truth in us, leading us and guiding us. I didn't get that. I only recently started to get it more and more, and I still don't fully have it. And honestly, pretty much all my patients that I talk to about this haven't been told this, taught this, understand this. And that's why I call it the half gospel. And I kind of relate it even to the, you know, when Jesus couldn't heal the people in his hometown. Well, if you go read through that a little more to understand that, they weren't looking for healing from Jesus in his hometown. They were looking at Jesus as, wait a minute, this is just Jesus, that old teenage boy that used to live here, and the toddler and the adolescent and that kiddo. What do you mean healer? What do you mean Messiah? They could not wrap their mind around that. They weren't seeking healing. They weren't looking at him as a healer. Their mindset was just stuck because of that familiarity with Jesus, the human being that grew up in that town. And so in a way, I kind of see that here, not just West Texas, kind of the Bible Belt, but just believers, the modern day American church. We see Jesus as our ticket to heaven. We see Jesus, the salvation guy, to get me to heaven guy. And wait a minute. And that's so familiar to us. And that's all we're looking to him for. At least I was. And a lot of my patients, that's what I see when we talk about this. So it's a big, 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 big deal. And I'm going to shut up because I know Nicole has some input on this too. But I'm just going to say just right there, that's the bottom line for me, is a half gospel. Not understanding the fullness of Jesus, what he came to do, bring heaven back into us so that we can walk around in the earth. And the last thing before let Nicole chime in, you know, just envision this. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day in the garden every day, every single day. For how long? I don't know. It doesn't say. I like to envision 33 years. And whether that's right or wrong doesn't really matter. But for me, it was kind of cool to think about. That every single day for 33 years, it could have been that Adam walked with his father in the garden, and his dad was talking to him every day about how to take dominion and rule this earth, because he gave it to man. He gave it to his son, Adam, to take dominion and rule, name the animals. I told my daughter that the other day. God could not name the animals, and she thought I was crazy and said, well, of course, God's God. He can do whatever he wants. I said, no, because he told Adam to, and he's not going to go back on what he said. He's not going to take that back. He's going to let Adam name him, and he told Adam to name him, so Adam's got to name him. It's his job. It's his duty. It's his responsibility. So I see this as God was teaching Adam for 33 years, walking around the garden, this is how you're going to rule creation righteously, as I would, self-sacrificially. You're going to rule for the benefit of creation, for the benefit of the soil and the plants and the animals and other, your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. Everyone's going to learn how to rule based off this loving, self-sacrificial love, lay down your life kind of love. And that's how it is. That's the culture of the kingdom of heaven. And we're bringing that culture to the earth. That's why I created it. I'm going to show these demons they were wrong for rebelling. I can create a creature less than me and less than the angels, and he's going to make the decision and choice to pick someone over to himself and not be self-centered. So Adam was walking with his daddy every day in the garden, learning the culture of the kingdom. And then boom, he listened to another voice. That other voice through his soul came and opened the eyes of his soul when they decided to submit to and listen to that thing. So boom, that other voice, Satan, the adversary, the father of all lies, got authority in the earth. We know that because it says he's prince of the earth. He's the ruler of this world. And he offered that authority to Jesus at the mountaintop. You kneel down to me, I'll give you the authority over the kingdoms of the earth. It was given to me. It was given to him by Adam. And of course, Jesus answered with the truth. Jesus always answered with truth. And then he went and got that authority back the right way, his father's plan, his father's way, on the cross, in the tomb, risen from the tomb, the empty tomb, and the ascension. And then he's at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated in Christ in heavenly places, and he's in us. That's the story. And I think Satan and his demons were sitting there on the day that they nailed Jesus to the cross, high-fiving each other, saying, "We got it done. We killed the Son of God. Hooray, hooray." They had a big party down in hell. And then over the next couple ensuing days, Jesus notified them of what was really going on. And I think they got real wide-eyed, and they started to turn on Satan. I think, "Wait a minute, boss, you screwed up big time. Look, he overcame death." And then at Pentecost, when Jesus ascended and then Holy Spirit comes, and boom, all of a sudden we got 3,000 little Jesuses. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead just came and lived in these human beings. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. I think those demons were about to rebel on Satan. Like, "You screwed up big time, Satan. You killed the one, and now we got 3,000, now 10,000, now 100,000, now a million, now 5 million. And man, these little Jesuses run around the earth taking back territory for the kingdom of God. We're in big trouble." And then Satan reminded these little demons, "Hey, wait a minute, guys. We know human beings. We know their blind spot. Their weak spot is their soul. We can whisper to them through their soul a lie, and we can set up a false identity. We can set up a filter in their mindset, a belief that they're not loved, that they're rejected, that they have to perform to be loved, that they have to please people to be loved, that they have to take on unlawful responsibility, that they have to be perfect and check your list off of everything," or whatever, fill in the blank. We have a mindset that's not the truth. But I'm just pretty passionate about this. If we get this, then you won't need a doctor. And that's the goal. You stick with me or any doctor, you're going to get some benefit and some 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 1 step forward, 2 steps back, or just stagnant or whatever. There's a ceiling to your health improvement if you're only going to rely on a doctor's wisdom.
That's what I've seen with our patients. The patients who really press in here are the ones that find true freedom and healing. And I wish it were every patient that came to see us every day, but we're all at different places. And thankfully, the Father meets us where we're at, and I can meet people where they're at and hold their hand to get them where, you know, things that he wants to reveal to them. But I would say a basic place to start, you talked a lot about how he communes with us in our spirit. And I would say that's the biggest problem that most people face, is that's where he communes. We come before him in spirit and truth, but most of us either don't know how to tap into that or don't even realize that's there. A lot of people just think that we're body and soul, and our soul's what goes to heaven or hell. But the Bible's clear that we're body, soul, and spirit. "I want to sanctify you holy, body, soul, and spirit." So we're a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when we're first saved, I explain it to patients like, you're used to your soul being the driver. If you're in a car, if we use car as an analogy, your soul's driving the car when you're first saved. You're used to being led by your emotions and your feelings. If somebody makes you angry, you react to that anger. If something makes you excited, you react to that excitement. So when your soul's driving the car, it's what gets to decide. Are we going slow or are we going fast? Are we turning left or are we turning right? And your spirit's there because you're born again, but it's the passenger. And the passenger doesn't really get to decide what happens or where we go. So you have to renew your mind to the truth so that you're not led by your feelings, so that even if something makes you angry, you can feel that anger for a slight second, but then, which is a fact. Anger, those things are all facts. Like, don't just deny the things that there's facts that exist, but you apply the truth to them. You don't have to get angry. You can choose how to respond. And when you renew your mind to the truth, you basically learn how to switch drivers. And your spirit's then the driver. And when your spirit's the driver, then the soul's the passenger. And it just has to follow along and submit itself to the spirit. And that's really how the Christian lives in victory. Because your spirit's what hears from the Father. Your spirit is where all, we're really not waiting on the Father for anything. We're not waiting on God for anything. He's already given us all that we need. In our spirit, we have all the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, everything that we could possibly ever need to be successful in life. But we have to learn how to get the spirit in the driver's seat. And the way that you do that is you renew your mind to the truth. I heard a sermon about meditation one time. And it was so great because he explained that if you have a problem in your life, you can go through your work day and still go on, you know, like you every day seeing patients. You could see patients throughout the day and you're still subconsciously, you're still able to subconsciously be acutely aware of your problem, even while you're talking to other people. And that's meditation. But it's the negative use of meditation. So we, that proves right there that we can do the same thing with the truth. We can subconsciously be acutely aware and hear from the Father, pray without ceasing all day. But we've just been taught wrong. We haven't been taught that. We've been taught that we can meditate on the problem and not how to apply the truth to that problem. So every time I think about my problem throughout the day, I could apply truth to that. And then think about the truth. If he gives you a verse, if something while you're reading stands out to you, go look up the verse, look up the Greek words. Like, how often do we spend as much time digging into these spiritual things as we do digging into what the right diet is or how this is going to affect my life and my weight and whatever? We just don't, because we haven't been taught. So I would say that that's probably the first step, square one, for anybody that wants to get start working on their peace pillar, is get a basic understanding of body, soul, and spirit and how to renew your mind. And that's really what the navigators are here for. That's my favorite thing to work with people on. I mean, yes, I'll talk to you about food and I know things about food and I enjoy talking about food, but at the end of the day, I know that food is just going to be a Band-Aid, and that's all.
Yeah. And from my perspective, just like I get so irritated with the statins and people walking around taking these statins thinking it's significantly reducing the risk of a heart attack and stroke, the number one killer in America. And in reality, JAMA, I always quote this, a 0.8% reduction in mortality, cardiovascular mortality with the statins. That's a false sense of security. I mean, what could be worse as a doctor than giving a patient something that, and you put all so much hope and trust and faith in it as a physician, and you relay that to the patient, and they're still a sitting duck. I mean, they're going to get clobbered. And it's the same thing with what we're talking about. I mean, how could I sit here, or and the navigators too, and put so much time, effort, and energy into one pillar, this nutrition pillar, the fourth pillar, or the movement or hydration pillar? And it's not to ignore them. I know y'all are hearing me that we're not saying ignore this. Steward the body, steward the temple, but it's all secondary to what's the driver, the soul versus the spirit. If the soul's driving, I can guarantee you, you're going to get frustrated in the nutrition pillar, period. And you're going to be walking around with a false sense of security if the soul is still in charge. Because the soul is where we get lied to by the enemy. So we're walking around with these belief systems set up in us, and it's impacting our decision making. And that produces fruit. And that is not the fruit of the spirit that's going to be produced. It's a false sense of, you think you're at peace when you have a big bank account or you have all your ducks in a row, you have your list checked off, you have all your things lined up. And check yourself. That's probably not true peace. You might need one more life insurance policy just to cover this one extra thing. Well, you want to have more of a inheritance to give to your kids. Well, now there's grandkids. I want to give my grandkids some of the inheritance, and there's just always more. You want to prep? Oh, yeah, okay. The economy's going to crash. You want to change your dollars into gold? That's fine. I'm not saying not to do that. I have a little bit of gold myself. But I'm saying this false sense of security of these things, that's not where it's at. So from a doctor, practitioner, health coach standpoint, we don't want to give you a false sense of security. That's why we always go back to peace pillar, peace pillar, peace pillar. And the non-responders, I'm always going peace pillar, peace pillar. It's a cortisol effect. Cortisol shreds your brain. Cortisol shreds your muscle. Cortisol shreds your thyroid. Cortisol shreds everything. It's not good. And the spirit being in the driver's seat is the antidote, is the answer to your metabolism problem, actually. All right. We'll talk more about this in the future. And I know we've got a patient coming on in a couple of weeks, I think, with a testimony. about this, getting the Spirit more into the driver's seat. And guys, again, like I said, we don't have it all figured out. We haven't arrived at any special place. We're not better than you. But I can say I'm further down the road spiritually down that narrow path than I was even last year, definitely 5 or 10 years ago for sure. So there is something to be said for seeking wise counsel from someone in your life who's further down this road of who has sought the kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom. Then all these things will be, and its righteousness, and then all these things will be given unto you. So let's quit focusing on all these other things, like I want to be skinny, I want my A1C to come down, I want this or that or whatever. Let's seek the kingdom first. It's amazing how the Bible's so accurate and true for everything. We'll talk about that more in a future show. We're out of time. But you can trust that Bible, guaranteed. Everything in it. All right. Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you continuing to seek the kingdom and the truth and everything. Look forward to continuing this journey with you and all you patients out there. And if y'all want to sign up and be a client on the wellness side, you can get educated in all these matters and get consultations through these wellness navigators at veritasmedical.com. You can sign up today, actually. Just click the Get Started button and you'll be able to schedule yourself on a calendar there. Okay, we'll be back next week with another great show. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards, you're the Cure.